Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Karina Hogan with Let's Talk.
And good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we are broadcasting from. I'd also like to acknowledge elders and of more recent arrivals and elders past and present. It's been a massive week, and I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which you are taking this broadcast from right across Australia. You can catch us on 98.9 FM radio on your radio radio, or you can head to 989fm.com.au to upload the podcast a little bit later on in the day. You can also upload the listen app, the app for 98.9 FM, where you can listen live and catch all of the wonderful chats that we have here on Let's Talk. Of course, Monday to Thursday with Bo Spearman on Friday. The week I take the week out with you. And Terry Royan has just swung into the studios this morning, just randomly come in to visit. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Karina. How's your day going?
Excellent. Pretty good. Pretty good. Bit of a slow start there. I'm a bit like, I just did CrossFit.
Oh, excellent. I can see you're still sweating there a little bit.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not an exerciser, so it was a first hit, and my legs are shaky, but you know, I'm here, and it's all good. Now, you're a freelance doco maker. You've done work with SBS 7, 9, 10 and NITV, and I just thought I'd pull you into the studio and see what you've got on the boil, because you're talking about something that I am going to hopefully be speaking about next week. What is that?
Well, there's lots of things happening out there, but I think one of the most important ones that are on everyone's radar now is a protest over at Stradbroke Island.
I've heard a little bit about that. What's that about?
Well, the government has pushed their agenda for a big, real whale structure to be housed at Point Lookout. Now, the locals over there and the tourists, I've spoke to quite a few of the tourists, right down to even school children walking past there, and I spoke to them about what they thought about having such a structure built on the headland, and the response was just floored me that nobody wants it.
Okay, right. I think it's such an important thing to be speaking about. It's an important island there, Mangereba. What else is happening there? There was something else that's happening over in Australia. I want to talk a little bit more about that next week. That's why I wanted to pull you in and give people a little bit of a taste of what's to come.
Yeah, so at the museum at the moment, if you want to go and do some research on Great Australian History, there's a great exhibition over there at the moment, and that's talking about the days when they had the asylum over there, and let's call it the stolen wages. So. Mm. Tegan did some great research in putting this exhibition together, so I went over there and covered that for NITV, so you can go back and play that online. Mm. But basically, in a nutshell, they found out that they weren't getting paid the same amount of money as the white fella. Mm-hmm. So they were paid in partial in rations and partial in a little bit of cash. And one day they found out that they weren't getting equal pay.
It sounds like a really interesting one, and I just wanted to kick the show off quickly and get a bit of a taste of what's to come, because next week we will be speaking a little bit more about Mangereba and what's going on there with the protests, and of course about this amazing museum. What's it like?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's the display, the paperwork that you can read on the display there is really good. Kudos to all involved in putting that together. Yeah, it just floors me to see how people were treated.
I mean, stolen wages is definitely something that has affected so many more people here in Queensland particularly. Was talking to Josh Creamer, who's a barrister, who's done some amazing work around stolen wages right across Queensland, Northern Territory and so on.
It also was the very first time that Aboriginals were recognised to be paid equal. So that happened right here on our doorstep. So that's a good thing. Just slipped my mind the other thing that I was going to say about the stolen wages. Oh, yes. And then, so I think the white fellas turned around and said, well, you know what? You want to get paid. We're going to take that money off you. And how are we going to do that? We're going to shut the whole thing down. So 2 years after they got their equal pay, they shut the asylum down.
Okay. Yeah, wow. It's incredible, isn't it? And I think such an important part of history, and the stories need to be told. Terry, you're telling some really incredible stories. That's why I kind of pulled you in just off a whim. Today we're actually, speaking of stories, going to be covering off on some pretty incredible books and one particular amazing author who has done just, she's a contemporary Indigenous artist from Garri, Queensland. She's a printmaker, painter, sculptor, photographer, born up there in Maryborough, Queensland. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Fiona Foley, an incredible writer. Last night her biography launched, and I'm going to be speaking with Pro Vice Chancellor for Indigenous Strategies, Angela Leach, who spoke at the event last night, but is also at QUT, where there is an incredible museum that's show that's happening there called Veiled Paradise, and bachelor artist Fiona Foley. It started on the 19th of June this year, and it finishes on the 26th of September. I encourage people to go in there this weekend to see it and to be part of it. So we'll speak with Angela Leach in a second. But then we'll also be talking to Lauren Apo, who is the founder of the Blackfella Book Club. And she's going to give some recommendations for Mob for books for Mob to read, or for anyone to read for that matter. These books are incredible. I like to finish the week off with a featured artist. Well, today we're going to have a few featured writers, artists, I think. So grab your pen and paper out, and we are going to head to a quick song by Emily Watamara. And when we return, we will be hearing from Angela Leach here on 98.9 FM's Let's Talk program. This is Emily Watamara with Tapsticks.
You follow what's the time of the day? Walk into hell, will it be okay? Eyes wide shut, cause I'm afraid, and all these thoughts invade my brain. Ooh, ooh. And the time of the day is now. Supposed to be afraid, and the wake of the morning arises me with spirits. Come and walk with me, and the sound of the tap sticks bring me back home where I'm protected and I'm not alone. Ooh.
This is Karina Hogan with Let's Talk.
And that was Emily Wattamara with Tapsticks. Love her. And love taking you guys out for the end of the week this Friday here on 98.9 FM's Let's Talk program. And joining me on the phone this morning is the wonderful Angela Leach, who is Pro Vice Chancellor for Indigenous Strategy over there at QUT. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning. How are you going?
I'm good, thank you. And you're joining me because today we are talking about some incredible authors, writers, and particularly focusing on Fiona Foley, who has an exhibition over there at QUT called Paradise Unveiled. And Veiled Paradise. And let's start first, Angela, by getting you to tell us who your mob is and where you're from.
So I'm a Wappalburra woman now. Come from the Keppel Islands off the coast of Rockhampton, and I grew up out there in Woodridge on Yagara country. And you can be a country.
Yes, Woodridge. Shout out to Woodridge. It's a great place to grow up in, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, Angela, last night you were a keynote speaker at the release or the launch, rather, of Fiona Foley's biography written by Louise Martin Chow, I think.
Chew. I think they said, yep.
Yes. So tell me about this biography that you've read and why it's so significant.
This biography has come about because of a relationship between Fiona Foley and the artist and the author who wrote it. The thing is, like I said last night, and I heard it somewhere, so it's not me, but you don't really know the art if you don't know the artist.
Mm.
And part of that, so as I was, even though I've kind of, like, in some ways, Fiona and I have led similar lives, but I didn't really know Fiona. So what the book does, it talks about Fiona's life and her history and what's happened to her along the way. And then it talks about the artwork. So you can see how her life, her Butchla people, because she's Butchla, and their country there has influenced the art that she then has created. And so the book really works well to tell you kind of why Fiona's developed all of her artwork.
Yeah. Now, when I think of Fiona Foley, I think of someone who creates amazing works around history, and she brings together she challenges a lot of the status quo and does it with such strength. And I always feel like when I'm reading her stuff that I almost can visualise what it is that she's saying. She's just got an amazing way of articulating herself. When you think about the way that it was written, what are some of the historical things that are delved into as far as her
work? Well, one of the things she talks about early on in the book, which is about Fiona's career when she was at Sydney Art School. It talks about her history, but then it kind of goes on, obviously, she was at Sydney Art School, and she started developing these imageries around massacres and what happened on Butchla country and what had been passed down. And she developed this amazing art piece called Annihilation of the Blacks, which is at the QUT Art Gallery at the moment. So it talks about massacres that happened on Butchla country, and it was a story that was passed down through oral history to her. And there's figures are kind of suspended there to reflect the action of, like, colonial soldiers at the time. And down the bottom is this, like, this white figure that cast a long shadow showing how these colonial actions impact us today. And she did that with a lot of fierceness. But then what happens when she did that, and I thought, to me, that's when she really began her work as a provocateur, when you read the book. But the lecturers there at the Sydney Art College were fairly resistant to her work, and they assessed it fairly harshly and told her what she was doing was a passing fad. And so what's happened, though, is she didn't listen to them. She went home, she talked to her mum, who's a really strong woman in the book, Shirley Foley, and she continued to go and produce the art that resonated with her. And I think one of the key things her mum said to her at the time, which I quite liked, was that her mum says, it's about time now that we turn the clock around, we tell the story the way it was told to us. And it's more or less like that has to set the scene then. She's just in your face now.
It's very much perspective-driven, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I know in one part there last night you spoke about the fact that when we speak about Indigenous and non-Indigenous, that heroes for non-Indigenous people are not always the same heroes as they are for Indigenous people and vice versa. What did you mean by that, Angela?
Well, when I started to, when you look at Fiona's work, she talks a little bit about Eliza Fraser. Mm-hmm. I think we all partly know who Eliza Fraser now is, but what she noticed when she was young was there was no much living on the island over there. Anyway, and she finds out that it's now called Fraser Island, which she couldn't understand because it was called Gagari, which, hallelujah, it's come back.
Yes, like only said, 3 or 4 days ago, sis.
I know. It was about 4 days ago
it
now.
It has officially been named Gagari, right?
Yeah, or renamed.
Renamed.
And like I said last night, there's after the story of Eliza Fraser being on the island, and, you know, it was the island's name was changed by the colonisers from Gagari to Fraser, and now the colonisers have changed it back.
Well, I actually shouldn't say officially changed back, because when we say officially, that's coming from a Western perspective, right? It's always been Gagari for mob, right?
Yeah. And I think the good thing, when I was thinking about that, the good thing is it was that for thousands of years, that Fraser name was just a blip. It's gone back to what it is.
Mm. I mean, when you look at the grand scheme of things, 65,000 years plus, 250 years of that, or, I don't know, 150 years of that, whenever it got named, it absolutely is a drop in the ocean, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think for me, for country to hear their name and hear name is really important to healing country.
Mm.
But now, anyway, get back to what I was telling you about. I need to jump back a little bit about Eliza Fraser. So there was some work done by Sydney Nolan about Mrs. Fraser's experience on the island, and it was all about these colonial assumptions, and it demonised the Batchelor people. So what Fiona did was she wanted to kind of restore a sense of people's dignity and their agency, and she developed a series of photos about it, which she put in herself, about Batchelor women.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, she does this kind of two pieces of work that she talks about heroes, and part of it she says, your heroes are not our heroes.
Mm.
And our heroes are not your heroes.
Yeah.
And it made me think, look, it kind of goes back to this Mrs. Fraser became a hero, I don't know, from being shipwrecked and being looked after. I mean, it's pretty good being a hero from just being looked after and saved. But anyway, she became the hero. And it's kind of like, and the Aboriginal people were not the heroes, but you know, the story was actually the other way around.
Yeah.
And when people start to think about that, I thought that was the thing that we need to settle on, because in some ways there is no joint truth, because there's this, like, this fictional narrative that the colonists need to understand.
Well,
that's what they do. And so it's that, I think, is really, really strong when she said that, and that was noted in the book.
Let's talk about truth, because Fiona Foley was the recipient of the Premier's Award recently for her hard-hitting truth-telling or ability to tell the truth about Queensland's really stark history, you know, speaking about massacres and speaking about what actually happened on Gari, and about this notion of what a hero is, you know. I mean, you've only got to walk down the street to see these statues of these human beings who are essentially praised by society, but behind it all are actually these horrible human beings, right?
Yes.
Why do you think
the whole removal of the statues and
And why do you think that truth telling is such an important element of what it is that Fiona does?
Well, I think you need to talk back to people about if some people have got it wrong, if the story that they believe is wrong, you need to correct it before it goes further, mainly, you know, because that's how sort of things spread. And they also say, you know, history is written by the victors. And so what's happened is they have written the history, but it's kind of incorrect. Mm-hmm. And maybe not all of it's incorrect, but you need to understand that there's two sides to the history. And I think that a lot of Australians, and this is what actually a non-Indigenous person said to me the other day, we landed in this country and then there's this big fuzzy bit. And I don't know what happened. And now we're all living here. And she says, I'm not sure what happened in the fuzzy bit. And I'm thinking, darling, you need to go and learn a bit, because that fuzzy bit was just shocking. It was a massacre.
Yeah, right.
It was, you know, attempted genocide.
Well, when I think about learning about those things, I think Fiona Foley gives a perfect account of those times and keeps that fire alive and she just so eloquently speaks about these events that have occurred throughout history. When she first began as an artist, this amazing woman who now is three decades of just unbelievable art. When she first began, she was told that her work wasn't that great, wasn't she?
I know. And then she just said, look, I'm going to keep doing it anyway.
Because for her it was about unravelling and exposing systemic violence and things like sexual exploitation and those important things. And so what was at the core of it, like this for me, the way I see Fiona Foley and the work that she does, whether it be her book Biting the Clouds, some of her amazing art pieces throughout history, she just amplifies the blatant, events of systemic racism, violence, dysfunction that has occurred from the colonizers towards blackfellas. And so I suppose she sort of stays true to that no matter what. She doesn't kind of waver, does she?
Yeah, and I think that sometimes Fiona's such a quiet person. I mean, I've only met her a few times. Each time she's just sort of like quiet and she's really humble.
Mm-hmm.
But she is quite staunch and quite firm in what she believes and what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And one of the things, when I was talking about truth-telling before, she did this artwork called The Oyster Fisherman, where there's a series of artwork where there was these white guys who were shown to be quite nice guys in the beginning of the work, and then towards the end they actually meet this Aboriginal woman, they do unspeakable things, and she is dead in the end.
Okay.
And she does it through a series of photographs. And when she asked the white guys who did the photos with her, they were quite upset about being shown to be the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the author, the photographer was saying it was very difficult for them because it was really confronting that the white man wasn't the hero of this story.
Right.
And there was afterwards they kind of apologised and Fiona says, we don't need your apologies sort of thing. But I found that kind of interesting because they were asked to be as part of our truth, and they didn't like it, and it was just for photograph.
And if you've just joined us here at 98.9 FM's Let's Talk program, we're yarning with Ms Angela Leach, who is the QUT Pro Vice Chancellor for Indigenous Strategy. And we're talking about the launch of Fiona Foley's biography last night. And that was written by Louise Martin Chu, who just does this incredible account of the artworks, the life of Fiona Foley, Gari woman, a bachelor woman, and also Angela is part of QUT's art museum, or the launch of the art museum there with Fiona Foley's Veiled Paradise, which, if you are listening from anywhere around the country, you can actually jump onto artmuseum.qut.edu.au to have a look. There's actually a virtual tour that you can do of the actual museum, which I think is quite incredible. Angela, as someone who's working in Indigenous strategy there at QUT, why is it important to have provocateurs, quote unquote, like Fiona Foley featured in and on the campus of QUT?
I think for QUT, we're actually turning a kind of a new page. We've always had some really strong people here at QUT and really strong Aboriginal staff, and that's the there's always been voices of Aboriginal people here. But there's been a change over the last few years to really look at sovereignty, voice and space. And I have to thank our Vice Chancellor for that. And so it's been brought more to the fore, where she actually supports it. And at QUT, I think we can just go along with the mainstream, and we can just be any kind of university in the country, and really the university can continue. But if QUT is going to be true to we're a university for the real world, well, the real world has some unfortunate things in there, and that's a very nice way of putting it. And so we want our graduates to have a really good idea, you know, this is Australia, this is what's happened in Australia, you know, and it's also, here's all the positive things, you know, and be embedding Indigenous perspectives into what's happening at QUT. It's a slow thing. It's been built up over, you know, hundreds of years. But it's really important, if you're going to put leaders out there in the world, which universities do, you need to have well-rounded leaders. You need to have ones that actually know the truth of what happened in this country, and ones that can engage with Aboriginal people. You know, sometimes things you don't want to hear, but it's real.
Well, it's that uncomfortable thing, right?
Yes.
Sometimes it's the best space to be in, because it means that things, to question things, to critique things, and then to go, well, you know, maybe it is that we were doing.
Sometimes it's the best spot for learning.
Absolutely.
Why do I feel uncomfortable about this?
And ask yourself.
Yeah.
Why it is. Now, we're wrapping up, but do you have a favourite piece from Fiona Foley? Something that stands out to you? Or is it that this biography, which encapsulates the whole three decades of her work?
Well, there's actually a beautiful piece downstairs called The Magna Carta Tree.
Ah.
And
I did see that when I did the virtual tour.
Yeah, and I look at that and I think, oh, it's sort of got all these little hidden meanings behind it. And the young Aboriginal girl on the front there's in this outfit, and it's like these kind of tree things behind it. But then other ones, it's got actually one of our relatives, actually, so kind of like a joint relative of Fiona and I, in behind it. And it's kind of like, it's got all these layers of kind of thinking behind it, you know. And she's just, it's just amazing. People should go and see this artwork. It's kind of these photographs. She's been doing photographs as well as her sculpture, and it's got the Aboriginal woman standing against like this dense forest of paper bark. But she's kind of looking straight at you, and kind of it's almost like she's asking you, "What do you think?" You know, that she's dressed in this. You know, when this isn't not really her in some ways. But it's kind of like in some ways, like, as I think she used the Magna Carta that says, no man shall be seized or imprisoned or stripped of these rights or possessions. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what it says. And, you know, we sell to no one, to no one deny or delay rights or justice.
And I love it.
Oh, what a great thing.
I think so. I'm really looking forward to reading the biography written by Louise Martin Chu. Fiona Foley, over three decades of artwork at the QUT Art Museum. As I mentioned, if you are not in Brisbane, then you can jump onto www.artmuseum.qut.edu.au and you can take a walk through, and there are these pop-ups that have some writings beside it that you can read about what the various different work that she's done. I think she's incredible, and I think if you can get on there, have a look at it. But the other thing, that word provocateur, I just wanted to finish on this note. I'm kind of looking forward to the day when speaking about this is not a provocative thing. You know, it's just the truth. This is what it is. This is what happened. And that there is some kind of acceptance within wider society that these are the things that have occurred and they have flow-on effects, but we're still here. We're still strong. We're still resilient. And the truth will be told whether society likes it or not, really, Angela.
That's right. We just got to make sure they're listening.
Well, that's it. And I think you're doing a great job there.
Fiona's book.
Yes.
Biting the Clouds. Excellent book.
I think Biting the Clouds is a definite must buy. Merinda, who is featured in the picture of Veiled Paradise, where she's standing in like a forest or bush, and there are a number of different bird cages in the background. She actually runs an amazing book club and is featured in that particular picture that Fiona took. This exhibition, as mentioned, includes over 30 years of new and previously exhibited pieces by Fiona Foley. And walking through the exhibition virtually for me so far, I haven't been there fully, but it's so reflective of who Fiona is, and imaginative and provocative. You know, there's no holding back for Fiona. I encourage everyone to have a look at that.
This is her year.
I think we were saying that before, and just looking at the things that she's done, even the artworks that she's done that are included in this about COVID, with the black and white head, almost looks like a sheeted head pieces, and she's got them all lined up in three lines, black top, white in the second row and black on the bottom, but it speaks about COVID and the impacts of that. She's doing all right. She's won a few awards, so jump on.
Yeah, well, this year she's got the biography, she's got her book, and she's got the exhibition. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Talking about COVID, go out and get your shots.
Yes.
People haven't got the jab.
On another note, yes. What do they say? Stand up and get the jab.
Oh. That's right. Stand up for your mob, and if you're out at the Murray Carnival, which I've been the last few days because we sponsored the Junior Murray Carnival. Mm-hmm. There were people going in there and getting their jabs. And,
deadly.
It's really good.
Isn't it
really
solid to see
community.
How many mob have stepped up to get the jab? Have you had yours, Angela?
Yes.
I had mine too. I'm double vaxxed.
Yes, double vaxxed.
I booked a flight yesterday to head off to Darwin. Let's hope that can happen. You know, we want to be able to travel, do those things.
You know, I was in the country last week last week I was up there and up off Rockhampton, and no one up there is wearing a mask, and COVID's not really up there.
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking, this is really lovely and we need to protect this.
We do.
You know?
We do. We'll get back to it in some capacity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think things will ever be the same again, but I sincerely
hope not.
Yeah. Maybe, we were just talking about the uncomfortable. Maybe, you know, we can come out of it better people. Who knows?
Yeah, and the environment will probably thank us too.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we can recognise the impact on different people. I like mental health has come to the fore now, and I hope that then people understand the great work that people in that space do.
Yeah. Well, I love the work that you're doing over there at QUT to build the capacity of blackfellas, bringing people to the forefront like Fiona Foley. And I appreciate you coming on this morning.
No worries. Thank you.
And that was Angela Leach, who is the Pro Vice Chancellor for Indigenous Strategy, Wapabara woman, who was part of the launch of Fiona Foley's wonderful biography written by Louise Martin Chu. I encourage you to get on and have a look at that. Also, some amazing work there at QUT, which you can see on the website artmuseum.qut.edu.au. Jump on, have a look, or head over to Brisbane and check that one out. In the interest of sticking to the theme of provocateurs, I'm going to play Ancestress one by one. Now, her film clip was just released, and if you haven't seen that, you can jump online and have a look at that. There's also a pretty awesome interview done by Terry Royan, who you heard a little bit earlier on in the program, and that one is with the wonderful Teela Watson, daughter to Uncle Ross Watson, who is founder of this very radio station that we are so lucky to be part of. And this song, One by One, by Ancestress, here on 98.9 FM's Let's Talk program. After the break, we're going to be speaking with Lauren Appo. So get your pen and paper out.
They killed us one by one. They killed us two by two. They shot us down with guns. And they poisoned the food. They spread the smallpox long. Spread the smallpox wide before they came to Queensland. 9 out of 10 had died. Put it out again, taking 5 out of 10. That left us 5%. Oh, what a high descent. But they carry their flags, carry their flags, and it's an honor, such an honor, just to fly that flag. Da 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 dum da dum da da dum da dum da da dum da dum da da dum da dum. They killed us man by man, they killed us clan by clan, they gave us new demands, took away our lands. Stole my talk and they have changed my walk. And what belongs to us is still sold and bought. Still feed me poison food, give a place for the rude. They strip necessity nude so they can build an excuse. But they carry their flag, carry their flags, and it's an honor, such an honor, just to fly that flag. Da 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 dum da dum da 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 dum da dum da 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 dum da dum da 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 dum. Sovereignty, this has always been home, and still the stories we keep reflect the truth we've known. But they kill us today, still take our kids away. Yeah, they carry out war just in a different way. But they carry their flags, carry their flags, and it's an honor just to fly that flag. Da 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 dum da dum da 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 dum.
This is Karina Hogan with Let's Talk.
Speaking of provocateurs, that was Ancestress with One by One. Now, if you have not seen that film clip, if you could jump online right this second or get a pen and paper, Ancestress, and look for One by One. It is absolutely incredible. Auntie Mary Graham's on there with Auntie Lilla Watson, who, of course, were part of a very regular catch-up every Thursday here at 98.9 with the deadly Tiger Bales, rest his soul. But I imagine that Tiger Bales and Uncle Ross Watson would be up there looking down on that sister girl going, well done, because it is an incredible piece. And that beat and that just that intensity of that song, I absolutely love it. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the program, you've just tuned in, you can upload the podcast a little bit later on in the day at 98.9fm.com.
qut.org.au. And we were speaking with Pro Vice Chancellor of Indigenous Strategy over there at QUT about Fiona Foley's amazing exhibition over there called Veiled Paradise, which you can catch online at artmuseum.qut.edu.au. I encourage you to jump on and have a look. And to take us out, every Friday I like to feature an artist, usually music, but today I want to talk to someone who runs the Blackfella Book Club and has been doing so for a little bit now. And she actually featured Fiona Foley's Veiled Paradise on her Instagram page. If you haven't gotten onto that and signed up to Blackfella Book Club, and even if you don't have an Instagram, start an Instagram because it's well worth it. Blackfella, BlackFulla underscore book club. And check it out. Recommendations all day, every day. And it's amazing. So to take us out, get a pen and paper out because you are going to get some great recommendations for some pretty amazing authors. And joining us on the phone is founder of Blackfella Book Club, Miss Lauren Appo. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. It's Books and Yarns. But
Books Blackfella and Yarns. Book I'm Club. So very sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine because Blackfella Book Club is the pinnacle of Blackfella Bookstagram and they are fantastic.
I'm so sorry. I get them mixed up, but yes.
Yeah, because we do a lot of like cross promotional stuff as black, you know, sisters. We like share our stuff, so it's really easy to get it mixed up. So.
And also, we all went out to dinner a couple of months ago.
We did.
And, yeah, yes. And all caught up. Teela Watson and Miranda. Yeah.
And the amazing Anita Hyde.
Yes. Now, yes. I wanted to get you on because you and people like Miranda and Teela have so much to say about books. And I wanted to get some recommendations for mob listening. And you've been looking at and chatting to Thomas Mayer lately. Tell me about that.
I have. Well, he's got a new book out at the moment called Dear Son. I have been reading it and loving it.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. I've been recommending it to everybody. You know, the situation that I have in my family is a unique one. This complements every kind of different scenario I can think of. These are beautiful letters written by beautiful Indigenous men to their sons, to things that they want to say, things that they have said, things that should be said. And everything in it just sort of speaks to me, even though
Tell me about your unique situation. Because I know your brother Nathan Appo, and I see him all the time in the photos with you, with your kids. But tell us about your
situation. Well, I've got two parents who have been together for, they like to say 50-odd years or something, but they were literally friends when they were toddlers. So they have been together since toddlers. So they're, been married for 100 years. Then
does that even exist anymore? Jeez, wow.
My mum and dad, they still call each other honey. They hold hands. This relationship is the pinnacle of black love, really.
Deadly. Solid.
And so we've got my older brother, Wade, my middle brother, Nathan, and me. And you know, Nathan and I have got a really, really close relationship even before I had kids.
Mm.
So I've got two little ones. Unfortunately, the relationship with the father ended in DV, and it's been a bit of a hard road for me in that respect. But I've had my brother step in a role where you would say, "Oh, he's the father figure," but he likes to say that this is what uncles do in our communities. And I totally agree with him. He wrote this piece for ABC, I think, last week, or through Father's Day week, and it sort of highlighted the idea that we need these strong men in our communities, whether they're uncles, whether they're best friends of our friends, or whatever, to step up and be these role models. And my kids have always had such strong role models. Men role models in their lives, and it's it's just a testament to, you know, these strong black men. And what the book shows is a sense of vulnerability. It shows softness, but not in a negative way. It shows that men are necessary mm. and needed in our community to keep us strong as a unit.
Absolutely.
And and these are just like these beautiful love letters shown by people in our community who are not necessarily seen in that way. You know, they're not seen in a way where they're loving and they're teddy bears and they give love and they spread love and all they do is just exude enjoyment and excitement. And, you know, I sometimes show like my kids when they're waiting for their uncle mm. and the excitement on their face is palpable. You can just feel it. And that's how they are with their godfathers, how they are with their, we've got a friend or a family friend, Jesse Green, who is my kid's godfather. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't have picked a better role model for them.
Yeah.
He's somebody that is just the cornerstone of his family and all over Brisbane, all over Harvey Bay, from where he's from. It's just, while reading this book, it has reminded me and restored my faith in black men, mm-hmm. even though like it was shattered there for a little bit, even though I have these people in my life that have always remained strong and staunch. It gave me a reawakening of mm-hmm. of these loving men, and I've just recommended it to everybody. I think it's just this staple that everybody should be reading. Women, men, everybody.
Well,
it's just lovely.
If you've got your pen and paper out, make sure you pop this one on the list. It's
Please,
called
yeah, Dear Son
by Thomas Mayer.
So there's letters from Stan Grant, Troy Cassidaly.
12 contributors.
So all contributors, Joe Williams, Jack Lattimore, who is he's an idol of mine. Wow. Yeah. So there's a letter from him. Beautifully written. The way that it's written is poetic. It's all the things you want to hear. It's all the things that they want to say. And also, like, one of the little things I love about black authors and black writers is when you read as a black reader, you don't have to make sense of things. Mm-hmm. There's a letter that Thomas Mayer talks about. I used to have to ring home to ask about recipes, how to make vermicelli chicken and coconut curry. And we literally do that in our own family. So I'm reading it going, that's me, that's us.
Yeah,
like,
so relatable.
It's so relatable. I don't have to, like, you know, when I'm reading other books that are considered, you know, classic, I'll have to look up something that I don't know anything about, because that's not, these books aren't written for me. Whereas this book is written for me in my community, right, for the people I love and the people around me.
That's deadly. And sis, I want to acknowledge you sharing your story around your circumstance and how strong you are as a mother and getting through that. Tell us about the next book. There's another author that you think is probably doesn't get the platform he deserves, maybe. He's a bit of an underdog. Who was that?
He is. Well, so his name's Wesley Stubbings. I also do children's books. So children's books is one of my passion things. Like I read, but I also love to promote and broadcast our black authors and stories for children. Because I think it's one of those things that, people in our community take for granted that they have all of these books written for them, about them, their lives. Our black children now have these books that are written about them, that have pictures of them.
I love it.
That are about their stories. So I love to promote those kinds of things. And
so his name's Wesley Stubbings.
Stubbings. He has this book, and it's called Lily the Longneck Turtle. And, you know, it's a the basis of the story is that the turtle is moved away from its family of long-necked turtles to a community of short-necked turtles. So we get a sense of there's, you know, they've moved. She needs to fit in with the short-necked turtles and how she goes about that.
She gets displaced from New South Wales and put displaced into a creek in Queensland.
Yes.
I love the artwork.
Oh, it's beautiful. And it's,
Declan Tiger is the illustrator.
Yes, and I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit quirky, isn't it? And I love it. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes, but can you name, let's say, five really good books for kids if you've got...
Okay.
Oh, it doesn't have to be for kids, just in general.
Yeah, well, the new Albert Namatjira book by Vincent Namatjira,
we just bought that.
Oh, my God. Yes, if you want to get some really fantastic books, your independent bookstore at Avid Reader is your choice to go, or Where the Wild Things Are. They are fantastic. Mm-mm. They are advocates for our community, and they have the best range of books. There's Story Doctor by Monty Clara. There's also...
Finding Our Heart, Thomas Mayer. I was speaking about him. I like that one. Is that the children's version?
Beg your pardon?
Is that the children's version? Finding
Heart. So there's Finding Our Heart, which is a children's version of the what is it called? The letter to the Uluru Statement of the Heart.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and then there's Welcome to Country by Joy Murphy. Mm-hmm. I love the Eddie Betts books.
Ah, I love that one with the boy with the Aboriginal T-shirt on the front.
Yes, Aboriginal, they're beautiful. Yeah.
The River by Sally Morgan. I heard you mention
The River by Sally Morgan. I read through NAIDOC Week to a few of the schools that I went to, and it was a hit. It is so unbelievably beautifully illustrated. The story is about rivers and our animals. And what I like to tell people when I read them is the reason why these rivers and these oceans and mountains and trees play such a huge part in our storytelling is because we see them as their own entity, their own spirit, their own person. So that's why you'll find a lot of books that are centered around a tree or a river or an ocean or a, it's that they are their own person. So I love that we carry that on still in our storytelling. Yeah. So the river is a great representation of that.
Well, we've got quite the list there, Lauren, and I encourage people to jump onto Books and Yarns.
Yes, please.
Books and Yarns _ Lauren Apo, a proud Mamu woman from far north Queensland, began this page. And
I wanted to say thank you so much for that Incarceration Nation.
Oh.
I watched it. It was the most, it was heartbreakingly beautiful. You're doing something that is really, really hard and needs to be done. And I really thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thanks,
as a woman in this community, you're telling the truth for people that can't tell their own story. So thank you for, bringing that to light and all the people involved in it as well.
For those listening that aren't aware, I was part of the research team and the impact producing team for the documentary Incarceration Nation that you can find on NITV. Thank you so much, Lauren. I appreciate that. And I should mention it was Dean Gibson who was the director and Helen Morrison, the producer, who led the way on that and did such an incredible job. And we have it's just been announced yesterday that we are in the running for a Walkley Award for the best documentary, which is exciting.
Yes, 100% should be.
But
congratulations.
The platform that you've got, Lauren, is so important because it brings things to life that blackfellas have written and produced and so on and so forth. So I encourage everyone to jump on there. And thank you so much for joining me here on Let's Talk.
You're welcome. Thank you so much and have a really good day.
You too. And that was Lauren Appo. She is a proud Mamu woman from far north Queensland, and she is ending the show for us today for the feature artist of the week. And jump onto booksandyarns_ on Instagram to have a look at the list of books that she's got there. But if you've enjoyed this program, you can listen again tonight at 7 p.m. on your radio, or you can upload the program on from 989fm.com.au a little bit later on in the day. Enjoy your weekend, and I look forward to getting you guys back again next week. We begin next week, Black Business Month, which is going. We will focus completely, solely, and wholly every Friday on Black Business Month, featuring some amazing people in the community who are building capacity of their mob, of themselves individually, and changing the way that business is done here in Australia. Thank you for joining me here on Let's Talk. And to take you out, a little bit of Dan Sultan and Paul Kelly here on 98.9 FM's Let's Talk program.